writer said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that's a winner. Amen. A conqueror. And kind of some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight, we're still looking at the life of David. And we're in 1 Kings. We're still, or excuse me, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We're still looking there at the battle between David and Goliath. Samson and Goliath. That'd be a good matchup, wouldn't it? But Goliath and David. We're looking at that matchup, and we're trying to get to the, you know, we got through the first part last time about facing our giants. But tonight, we want to look just a little bit further, and we're going to actually look at the battle itself. And we're going to look at David and how he fights this thing. And we're going to call it A Little Fella and a Living Faith. A Little Fella and a Living Faith, because that's who David was. I mean, obviously, we all know the story, and Goliath, as far as what we think and we understand and maybe calculate and all that, was over 9 feet tall. And that's a big guy, man. You go to fighting somebody over 9 feet tall and you yourself are maybe not hardly 6 feet tall. And that's probably where David was just as a young man, just as a teenager. He was probably still maybe over 5.5 feet, something like that. So there's a big difference as far as the size goes, but I'm telling you, he was a little fella, but thank God he had a living faith. He had something that Goliath certainly didn't have and that Goliath didn't even want. So let's kind of look at that tonight, if you will. Not going to read the whole thing because we're probably going to get through the entirety of the chapter. We got down to verse number 11 last week. So pick up with me, if you will, in verse number 12. And it says, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came forth to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us, giving us this time here tonight. Thank you for the good singing, the good songs of fellowship and worship. And Lord, I pray now you just add your blessing to the reading of your word. Just give us some insight, give us some wisdom, and give us some things that we need to fight our daily battles and to win the victory and to realize that our victory is in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. Amen. And Lord, I thank you again that you are all we need and all we'll ever need. And we praise you for that tonight. Just give us direction, give us understanding, give us wisdom, give us something from the Word of God tonight. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, I want you to look here at this little fella by the name of David, and he was a man that had a living faith. He was a man that had a living faith. I mean, David has shown that throughout his life, and there's some characteristics here in this story that we're going to look at, some characteristics of David and probably some characteristics of Goliath look at us and see if we can see us in some of these things and see if this will help us tonight in fighting the fight of faith that we need to. So first of all, if you will, let's look at this and let's talk about the obedience of the boy. Okay? The obedience of the boy. Now, you know, when we look here in this story, we see that David, it says, verse number 12, David was the son of Jesse. I mean, it just goes, but talks about he's an Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah. And he had eight sons, and it talks about how that his three older sons went with Saul to fight in the battle. They were men probably of stature and age enough to be considered military men. I mean, they, you know, if you remember, we read here last week how that Saul would find a man that was strong. Saul would find a man that was probably looked like the military type, and he would try to get him to come and be part of the army. Remember, they did not have a standing army in that day. They were not like we are, where we have Army, Navy, Air Force, you know, we got all these branches of military, and people go, and that's what they do full time. They did not have a full-time army. There were some men that were officers. There were some men that were, generals and commanders and whatever. They had some rank, but there just wasn't a whole lot of enlisted soldiers with them. And in that thinking, when battle would come, men would leave their homes and their families to go fight for their nation. So here's David's three brothers, the three oldest, and they go and follow King Saul into the battle against the Philistines. Now, as they go, they're fighting, and as you can see here, this giant of a man, this Goliath, comes out and he presents himself. It says for 40 days he comes out and makes the challenge to the armies of Israel. That's a month and 10 days, right? I mean, that's basically a month, but nearly a month and a half of him coming out and challenging the people of God and says, send your best man, let us fight. Whoever wins, the other will be the servant to them. I mean, that's what's been going on that whole time, right? That's what's been going on. And as that situation goes, then, hey, here we're finding nobody is willing to take up the challenge. Nobody on the side of Israel. Here goes Goliath. I mean, every day he's screaming and yelling and pointing somebody. Send me somebody. We're going to fight. Somebody down here. I'm ready, you know. And here he is in that situation. And what's going to happen? Well, as I said, we see the obedience of the boy. First of all, don't you notice this about David? First of all, you notice David's return after being a servant of Saul. Notice his return. The Bible tells us there in verses 12 through 15, if you will. Now, we read most of that, but it talks about how that David's brothers went to serve. And then it tells you, verse number 14, David was the youngest, and the three eldest brothers followed Saul. But look in verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David went back and made himself subjected to his father again. Now, if you remember, we read last week when King Saul was having all his episodes of whatever it was, if it was, you know, the oppression of the devil or just it says an evil spirit from God came up, whatever that was that happened to him, David was able to play music and calm him down. Well, now they've gotten into this situation where it's a military battle, and David is not going to be included in the military part, so he goes back home to his daddy. I mean, yeah. Now you think the point I'm getting to is this: David is still subject unto his father. I want you to understand. I'm talking about the obedience of the boy. I mean, you know, his daddy could have told him and said, "Son, when the time comes, or when you get through with what you're doing here with the king, come home. You still have work to do." You know what David said? "Yes, sir, Daddy. I'll be there. I'll be right back, and I'll be doing the same thing that I was doing before." David, what I'm wanting you to see is David's obedience to his father. He returned to his father.
But then, not only this, notice that he does return to his father, but I want you to notice David's requirement that comes to him from his father. It says in verse number 17, "And Jesse said to David, his son, take now for thy brethren, ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, run to the camp of thy brethren, carry the 10 cheeses unto the captains, and look and how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge," and, you know, so on and so forth. Here's what I want you to do. And you know what David did? "Yes, father, I'm ready to do that." I mean, what I want you to see is that David is being obedient to the requirements that are given to him from his father. He returns back home and he's subject to his dad. You know what a lot of kids do? "Well, hey, I've been away from home and I can take care of myself and I can probably do what I want to. And if I want to, Dad, I don't have to listen to you." As a matter of fact, David could have been like the prodigal son. He said, "Hey, I've been out there a little bit. I've tasted some things. Give me what's mine and I'm going to go. And y'all can just have the rest of this stuff." But you know what, David was a type of the right-minded Christian that understands we have an obligation to our Heavenly Father. And David winds up learning how to be obedient to his father. I mean, David, he makes a return. He has a requirement that comes to him. And his father said, "I want you to go down to your brethren that are in the battle. And I want you to take these things. And this is what I expect of you." You know what David does? "Yes, sir." Amen. Didn't have to ask him twice. Didn't have to reprimand him. Didn't have to get on him. Didn't have to ask him, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" No, David just goes and does what the father tells him to do. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Some of you mamas and daddies, you know that's a blessing. Because how many times we had to tell our kids, "What did I tell you? Are you not listening to me? Did you not hear me the first time?" I don't see that out of David at all. I see a boy that understands his place. Can you imagine? Here's David. He's been down at the king's house. He's been the one the king called on. The king talked to him in a special way. The king wanted him around. I mean, he'd been in the presence of the king. And now he's got to go back and go to doing the same old job he's doing before, taking care of a herd of sheep out on the hillside of nowhere and making sure that those sheep got fed and had no special place, no special things for him, no special recognition, nothing. He's just back to what he's doing. You know what he said? "I'll just do what daddy says do." Can I tell you, me and you as Christians will find ourselves a whole lot better off if we'll just do what the Father asks us to do. I mean, let's just get obedient to our Heavenly Father. So David made a return. David had some requirements. And then don't you notice, when David gets here to where he's supposed to be, David makes a review of the situation. Now this is a little bit lengthy in here, but David, in verse 22, it says he left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran to the army, and he came and he saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, it says, "Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them." You see there, here's David, and David hears what Goliath has challenged with. "Send me somebody to fight. Send them down here." And David is listening to all of these things that are coming. I mean, so I want you to understand, sometimes it's important before you do anything. First of all, you need to listen and see what's going on. David's listening and he hears what's going on with Goliath. He sees him coming out and he's like, "Man, what's that?" And then he hears that challenge. But then it says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that's coming?'" Can you imagine there's two or three of them soldiers standing around and they say, "Have you seen this guy?" I mean, there might be some of these men that are new to the battle. There might be some of them that don't know the whole story. There might be some of them that don't quite understand what's going on. And David certainly doesn't. And they say, "Have you seen this guy?" He said, "Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Saul had made a decree and said, "Here's what will happen. If one of you guys will go out there and fight him, here's what I'll do for you." Now, why Saul didn't do it, I ain't got a clue. I mean, can you imagine? You know, I've often thought this in the day that we live. I'd love for some of these knuckleheads that's over here giving orders. Hey, Putin, get out there and start doing some fighting yourself. Amen? Hey, wouldn't you like to see that? If you're going to go tell somebody to go to war, get out there and lead them yourself. If you've got an army, get in front of them. Get out there. Get with it. Amen. I mean, that's what they used to do. If you remember, the Bible talks about David later on. It said in the time of the year when the kings went to battle. You know what that means? That means the kings went to battle. They were out there on the field and they were leading and directing and charging their troops. I don't see Saul doing that, do you? I see him standing back and say, hey, any of you boys want to get out there and fight him? If you do, here's what I'll do for you. Now, isn't that amazing? And as I say, we've even gotten worse than that. We've got men sitting in executive offices trying to make military decisions, and they ain't got a lick of sense about fighting nothing in their lives. They've never had to do anything. All they do is try to tell somebody else what to do. Hey, get out there and fight yourself. Amen? Get in the middle of it. If that's what you want, then get out. Don't be afraid to get out there and get in it. Amen? Well, that's my two cents. But anybody can think what they want to. But you just don't see that. But anyway, here's Saul. He said, here's what I'll do. And David, look in verse 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine? Take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall be done to the man that killed him. In other words, they told him, they said, well, the king said he'd make his father's house free, and he'd give him his daughter as a wife, and he would give him riches, and, you know, all this gonna happen to him. And David is listening. David is listening. I mean, hey, one of the most important things you and I can do is listen to the whole situation. David's here, and in his review, first of all, David listens. But not all only does he do that, David learns a few things while he's listening, doesn't he? He learns who he's up against or who they are up against. He learns a few things about him, as a matter of fact. And it says here in verse number 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Boy, does that not sound like an older brother? I got one of them. Amen. Some of y'all say amen. You got one of them? What do you think you're doing down here? That's basically what it was, right? Get back to the house where you get out of here, you little pipsqueak. I mean, that's it. That's what he says. He said, what about that? You're supposed to be watching them little old sheep. Get over there. Get out of the way. Get out of here. You know, I mean, that's exactly what he's doing. That's what he's trying to come across as. The big bad. Can I tell you something? He ain't jumped up and run down there to fight either. Amen. He's still standing on the hillside with the rest of them, right? He hasn't gotten engaged in the battle. And David says in verse number 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I mean, what did I do? Isn't there some reason somebody ought to stand up and do something about this situation? Have I said something wrong? Have I understood this situation? Is there something more that I need to know? No. He's heard, he's listened to what's been going on. He has learned some things. And now, you know what? David's ready to leap in and do some fighting. He's ready to leap in and do some fighting. Why? Because he's got something that some of the rest of these guys don't have. As I told you, he's just a little fella, but he's got a living faith. I mean, do you see how David addresses the situation? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, verse 26, that he should defy the armies of the living God? He didn't say the armies of Israel. He didn't say the armies of Saul. He said the armies of the living God. And that's not the only time he uses that phrase. He uses it on several occasions. But I just want you to notice, first of all, David, now, he's probably got some little bit of young man in him, but that's okay. I mean, he's ready to leap in and to get into the battle. So you see the obedience of the boy. Second of all, I want you to notice the defiance of the bully. That, as we said last week, here's Goliath, and he's big. He's bad. I just get the idea that Goliath is just this huge, monstrously big. I mean, just kind of a. I even picture him. I think he's ugly a little bit. Okay. Now, y'all just leave me alone whether you think that or not. He might have been handsome, but I think he's ugly. And I think he just wants to be a big, bad bully, right? Isn't that what he wants to be? I mean, just look at him. He comes out swaggering around, and he stood there, and he said, "Why you come out here to put your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and your servants to Saul? Choose you a man. Come down and fight. And if I can beat him, then you're our servant. And if y'all can beat me and kill me, then we'll be your servants." I mean, that's him. He's come out. He's done this for 40 days, and nothing has happened. He's a bully. That's all he is. He's just a bully. Can I tell you, the devil is a bully to me and you many times. He's a bully. I want you to notice some things about this bully. First of all, I want you to notice that the Bible tells us he is a man of war. You notice that when David tries to, you know, get ready to fight in verse 33, he goes and tells Saul, "I'll go fight him." He says, well, look what he says in verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." You bunch of scaredy cats, is what he said. Don't let anybody's heart fail. "Thy servant, me, I will go and fight with this Philistine." And look what Saul said. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." You know why? He says, "For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." First of all, the bully is a man of war. What he means is he's used to conflict. He's used to fighting. He's used to all of this stuff that's going on right now. And David, you don't know anything about it. You're not able to do this. Doesn't that sound like the devil? You can't do that. Oh, that won't work. It'll never happen. You might as well give up and quit and run and go home. I mean, can you imagine? Here's the king of Israel, and he's telling David, "No, you can't." And I understand. I understand David's young. I understand David's a boy. I understand David's, underneath all these other fellows physically and tactically and everything. David's in a different situation. I got that. And I know the bully is a man of war. The bully, he's been a man of war. He said, "You're just a youth." Now, this fellow's been a fighter, a man in trouble and in all kinds of scuffles and all sorts of stuff. He's been doing that ever since he was your age. He's been in this. Amen? You ever think about that? You ever talk about that? Come on, I know some of you do. I can remember talking about folks in our high school and thinking back. I remember talking with folks now. I said, "You remember so-and-so?" I said, "Man, they thought they was bad back in them days." Right? I mean, you sit there and you think of some fellas that went to school with you. Maybe even some girls too, I don't know. But some guys that went to school with you. And they thought they was bad news. I mean, they was bigger than maybe the rest of us. Now, I want y'all to know, in high school, I was 5'6", 130 pounds of twisted steel. Amen? Well, maybe soft plastic. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it was, that was what I was. And there was guys, you know, there was well over 6 feet tall, some of them over 200 pounds, and some of them had muscles on top of their muscles. I mean, they was, you know, kind of worked out and did all that kind of stuff. And they were, some of them was bullies. They'd go around, they'd look at you, and, you know, they literally take your lunch money. Amen? I mean, that was the kind of bully they were. They'd get in your face. They'd mock you, they'd laugh at you, they'd pick at you, they'd do whatever, because they're just a bully. And that's all that Goliath is. Goliath is a big bully. And he'd been a big bully all his days from being a young man. He was a man of war. He was just a big bully. But not only this, I want you to notice, not only do we say that he's a man of war, he had a mentality of withstanding. I mean, can you hear it in his voice when he talks? Who y'all gonna send out here? Send me a man. Send somebody to fight against me. I mean, he's just got that attitude. He doesn't have the same attitude that David does. And we're going to look at the battle here in just a minute, but he just doesn't have the same attitude. I mean, you know what Goliath said? Nobody tells me what to do. As a matter of fact, who do you think the head of the Philistine army is? We're never told. But I'll tell you this, I don't think it's Goliath. I don't think he's the head. If there was a general or a leader, whatever you want to call him, we're never told who that is. But we're never indicated that Goliath is that either. The Bible, as a matter of fact, tells us that Goliath, it calls him a champion of Gath. He's a champion of the Philistine. And that word champion means, it really means a fellow that goes out and is in the midst of things. In other words, he may not be the head, but he's the guy that goes out and gets in the middle of everything. And that's what this bully does. He wants to get in the middle of what's going on. Amen. You ever notice that about bullies? They don't want to be leaders. They just want to bully and run over and do whatever. They're not trying to fill a leadership position. They just want to get their way, have their way, and do their thing. And that's what a bully does. That's a bully. I mean, I'm just going to come in here and I'm just going to bully everybody around. And matter of fact, let me tell you something. I've seen some preachers like that. Amen. That's not a good look for a preacher. You're not a bully. You're a servant of God. And we ought to learn some obedience unto our Lord. Amen. Well, don't want to get in that, do I? Boy, I'd stir up a horn. All the fellas out there on Facebook, preacher, it was call me a bully. I didn't call you a bully, but if it fits, go ahead and wear it. Amen. Anyway, here's Goliath. His mentality is this. I don't have to listen to anybody. I'm not putting up with what I don't want to put up with, and I'm ready to fight anybody that stands in my way or wants to get in my way, and I'm going to come running through you. That's his mentality. I mean, I don't see any decorum. I don't see any, let's sit down and talk about this. As a matter of fact, if you go back and study this, you'll see that that's the whole situation. Why? They're fighting the Philistines. You read this. When you read right around this where we've been reading in chapter number 17, chapter number 18. And you remember I read back just a little bit. I think it's at the end of chapter number 14 where it said that Saul had problems out of the Philistines all the days of his kingship. All the time he was king. They were constantly fighting the Philistines. What were they fighting about? Because the Philistines as a whole were just a bunch of bullies. If you go back and read, you know what they did? They got all of the weaponry of the Israelites. Somehow or other, they kept the Israelites from having swords, spears, you know, any kind of weapons of war. They took them. You know what they did then? They got rid of all the blacksmiths out of Israel. And when they got rid of them, couldn't nobody make any weapons of war. You can go back and read this in the earlier chapters, and you'll see they just wanted to be a bully. Well, if we can take all their weapons away, we'll bully them. And you didn't know what they did then? They started going in taking their food. They started going in taking their stuff. They started going in and pushing them around and doing whatever they wanted. Why? Because they're just a bunch of bullies. That's all they are. Just a bunch of bullies. And Goliath is just one of the crowd out of this bunch of bullies. He's just a bigger bully than anybody else. But that's where this whole mentality comes from. You get a mentality of people that want to be bullies, and they'll bully. And their kids will be bullies, and their kinfolks will be bullies, and their buddies will be bullies. And everybody gets around them, it'll rub off, and you'll all wind up being a bunch of bullies. And you say, well, why do you do it that way? Because that's the way we've always done it. Well, why'd you want to do it? Because we want what we want. We're going to get it, and we'll do it how we want to do it. Oh, you mean you don't want to sit down, and you don't want to pray about this, and you don't want to reason? I'm just going to do it because I can. And that's the way the bullies think. And that's the way Goliath, he's like, well, if y'all got somebody, whoop me, send him down here. We'll fight it out. Amen? I mean, y'all heard that old term. You know, sometimes somebody said, well, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Sometimes you got to fight, okay? Sometimes you got to fight, especially when somebody like this bully comes up. But you see that he has this mentality of withstanding whatever comes his way. I mean, and there are some people. There are people. I know this is going to shock y'all, but there are people in churches like this. Amen? Go ahead. Shake your head a little bit, because we've all been around them. I mean, they'll just bully their way, and they'll say, well, you know, I got the money, or I got the power, or I got the votes, or I got the people, or I've got the whatever it is to do this and this and this, and you can't stop. That's the mentality I'm talking about. They're going to withstand whatever they want to withstand. And can I tell you, God ain't happy with that stuff. Amen? But he had a mentality of, and don't you notice this? When it really came down to it, he was a mocker in his words. Whatever he said, he did it in a mocking tone. I mean, can you hear that? Do you see what the Bible says there? Says it more than once. David comes to him, or comes to his men there, and he asks them, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And look what he says, that he should defy. Do you see that word, defy? The armies of the living God. And then if you'll notice over in, verse number 45, it said, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. If you look back earlier in the chapter, you'll see that it says that Goliath came and he began to defy them. I mean, every time you turn around, you'll see that word defy. So, well, what does the word defy mean? The word defy means this: to reproach, to taunt, or to say sharp sayings against someone. So that's the mode of operation of a bully. Big, bad, taunting, and unrelenting talk. I mean, they talk a good game. As a matter of fact, you haven't seen Goliath fight a lick, have you? I mean, you ain't say, he just come out and all he's doing is talking right now. And you know what? Same thing happens in our lives when you're around a bully and they get talking. It scares people. It scares people. Do you know that the devil wants to talk and taunt and do everything he can, and it scares people? Do you remember what the Bible says about the guy that was the maniac of Gadara? That he terrorized the townspeople, where, and they tried chaining him up, they tried doing everything, and they finally just ran him out of town because he was such a terror, they just couldn't be around him. They got him out of town somehow, and he lived out in the graveyard. They hated to be around him. They did not want, because all he did was taunt, terrorize, and wreak havoc. That's what a bully does. That's what a bully, and they mock with their words. As a matter of fact, you see a little bit later on when David comes to Goliath, and look what it says in verse number 43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He's a cussing him now. He's a tearing him up with his words. Look what it says there in verse number 42. And the Philistine looked and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And then he started that talk. He said, oh, they're bringing the little boys out here, huh? I can whoop you, and you come to me, you got little sticks and stones. You think you can hurt me, little boy? And then he starts cussing him. That's exactly where, this is the defiance of the bully. Why don't you look at this last of all? Let's look at this real quickly. Let's look at the brilliance of the battle. Let's look at the brilliance of the battle. First of all, I want you to know this battle, and it's about to become a battle. It is, first of all, fought in confidence. David has some confidence. Look what David says in verse number 45. Then David said to the Philistine, when they got to meeting on the field and the Philistines cussing him and doing whatever he did, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All this, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He's fighting this thing with some confidence. I'm telling you, this is a little lad, a little fella, but he's got some living faith. He said, I want you to know you coming to me with all of your war implements and all your big bad bully talk and everything. He said, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. I'm coming and I'm not coming at you. I mean, this thing was fought with some confidence. You and I, and I'm not talking about being cocky, and I'm not talking about being, you know, kind of brash and saying something that we shouldn't be saying, but I'm saying you ought to have some confidence in the Lord when you get ready to fight the fights against these giants and these bullies in your life. Have some confidence in God. It's not you that's going to do it. I mean, be like David. David said, look, I'm telling you, he said, this battle's not with swords and spear. It's the Lord's battle, and he's going to give you into our hand. We're going to win. We're going to win because you're fighting the Lord's battle. Now, I'm not telling you to go out here and pick on somebody and pick out somebody, but I'm just telling you, sometimes when you got to make a stand for God, just make your mind up and say, Lord, hey, give me the confidence that I need in this battle that I'm engaged in. I'm fighting a fight, and I'm a standing for God. Amen? You ever had to do that? Just stand up for God? Sometimes you can't. I had a preacher sent me a message today, and he was just asking for prayer, and then he began to tell me about the situation going on, and he said, you know, I had a bunch of folks at my church that left, and it was over. He said, but I had to make a stand. I said, preacher, you just make your stand. I said, if you're making your stand for God and you're in the right, hang on, buddy. He's got somebody to take their place if they, you know, they all want to leave or whatever it was. But listen, hey, I'm telling you, it's amazing at what you got to do sometimes to stand for God. I'm talking about making a real stand for God. Now, I know people have people problems, and we have, and probably most of our problems are people problems. But I'm telling you, hey, when you stand for God, just go ahead and make your stand anyway. And do what's right. Do what's right. So you've got the idea that this was fought in confidence. I mean, he had confidence. When you think about this, you know, Saul was trying to get him to put on his armor. He tried to put him in that when he said, I'll go fight him. And they said, well, you got to put on some armor. He put that on, and David said, I can't do that. He said, but let me go with what I know. He tried to give him his weaponry. He said, here's my sword, you go find. He said, I don't know what to do with that. I'm not skilled with that. But you know what David did? In his confidence, he went down to the brook. He found him 5 smooth stones. He put them in his shepherd's pouch. He got his sling that he had some confidence in. He took what he knew and that he had confidence in, and he went into the battle in a confident way. What do you say? There's people out here trying to say, oh, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. You know what you ought to do? You ought to pray and ask God and let him equip you. And when God gives you, he'll give you the words. He'll give you the thing, whatever it is to do. He'll give you the direction. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the understanding. And if you'll just get in with that, hey, that's what you got to do. Amen? Just get in with that. And that's what David did. David said, look, I can't take your armor, I can't take your sword, I can't wear your helmet, but let me go with what I know. Amen? And he went with the things that he was confident in. He fought this fight in confidence. But second of all, I want you to know, he did fight this fight in confrontation. And what I mean by that was, it was a conflict. I want to tell y'all something. I hate conflict. I do. I hate it. I hate to see it coming. I don't like it, and it happens even in the church sometimes. Conflict happens, and I hate it. I don't want it. I'll avoid it. I'll dodge it. I'll do whatever. But sometimes you just can't. And these guys had been standing out here for 40 days listening to this giant roar and challenge and do. And David said, it's time to quit that stuff and let's get in the battle. Amen. Sometimes you've got to have some confrontation. Sometimes it's got to happen. I mean, it's coming. There's going to be. And David said, look, you brought this on. This is what you want. This is the way it's got to be. So here we go. Head on, buddy, me and you. And that's what he's getting ready to do. And again, you don't see David cussing him out. You don't see David, trying to finagle and figure and set a trap and do all. You don't see David doing any of that. Amen? You ever see that around with other people? You say, okay, you go out there and fight, and I'll get about four or five guys and we'll sneak up behind him. Yeah, that's about the way bullies act sometimes too, isn't it? Well, let me just tell you, sometimes you just go out there and face it. You got to go out there and face it. I've faced some things, hadn't wanted to, but had to sometimes. It is confrontation, and it does happen. Well, let me tell you this. Thank God. You can fight in confidence. You can fight with confrontation. But you can finish with a confirmation. Look what it says. Verse 47, David said, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David didn't say into my hands. He said he's going to give you, the Philistines, into our, the army of Israel's hands. And it came to pass. Listen. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. And look what happened. That David hasted. He didn't back up from the conflict. He didn't back up from the confrontation. He ran to meet it. And he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slung it. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, I'm just thinking, and you've probably heard a lot of people say this too. You get somebody that's going this direction, somebody coming at them from this direction. If I took something and threw it and hit somebody in the head that was coming at me, the most likely scenario is that I'd knock them backwards. Because they're on their feet, they're moving. Somehow, Goliath falls down on his face. You know why? I think there's some reasons, and a lot of people said this, that God was back there and said, boom, big boy, you're down. That's probably true. I'm going to tell you another reason, I think. Because when he went down, hey, he went down in the position of being humbled before the Lord. He'd been defiant. He'd been the big bad bully. He'd been mocking and carrying on. Hey, he found his place and he bowed before David that was able to stand for God. Amen? I believe that's some of what went on. I mean, you say, well, I'm just saying physics says he ought to went the other way. But he fell on his face. And then you know what happened? David said, I'm not coming with a sword. I don't have a sword. I ain't got a shield. I ain't got a spear. I ain't got nothing. But you know what he did? He ran over there, and the Bible says that he pulled Goliath's sword out of his sheath, and he cut his head off. And you know what he did then? He picked that head up. He pointed it back to that army and said, looky, looky, looky. Your boy's gone now. What are you going to do? And you know what they did? They turned and they ran. And that's how you deal with a bully. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you to go out here and cut every bully's head off. You know what? Sometimes I'd like to, but well, that's right. I know that. But that's what David did. It said, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine, and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, the Philistine's sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they chickened out. It don't say that. It says they fled. But that's what it means. They turned and they ran. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou comest to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shurim, even unto Gath and to Ekron. They ran back home. The trip from where they were back to those two cities is somewhere between 15 and 20 miles. They ran back, and the Israel army started running after them, and they killed them. Amen? Hey, you know what that means? That means that God was with them. And when they saw David and his faith, it put some faith in them. Do you know that God will do that for us? Sometimes when we see others that are able to stand and do what they do by faith, it enables you, it helps you, it encourages you to live by faith. So what I'm telling you is tonight, you and I need to get ourselves into that position where we can stand by faith and we'll help somebody else. Somebody that's weaker, somebody else is having trouble, somebody else got some issues with it, God will enable them through you. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would. We'll get ready to sing.